Initiatic Dreams, Lee Irwin, PhD, FRC.
I'm going to start by giving a very simple traditional idea of what initiation is, as that is the theme of the conference. And by initiation, I'm using this simple definition, which could be added, many layers could be added to it. A transmission of esoteric knowledge from an advanced practitioner to a less advanced practitioner. It's just a basic fundamental idea. However, I want to emphasize something about esoteric knowledge, and that is that it is not a matter of simply ideas. Most people, when they think of esoteric knowledge, tend to think of ideas, but esoteric knowledge has many different layers and different types of kinds of knowledge. And as we go along here, I'll try to articulate that a bit more. Now, normally, in the ordinary course of instruction, either verbally or written instructions are given you that are coupled with ritual action. So as you go along through the learning process, you get increased instructions, and then you get practices that you do. And it's a mixture of both instruction and ritual action. And normally the teacher evaluates the student as you go along. So there's not just one ritual of initiation, there's a series of initiations, and there are different levels of advancement in terms of the actual tradition or practice. And so there are periodic instructions and periodic initiations. Now, the exception to that is something called baraka. And baraka is, that's a Sufi term, and I am a member of both the Rosicrucians and the Inayat Sufi order. And in that order, the term baraka means that the teacher has a certain capacity to transmit directly to the student some particular unique spiritual energy or aspects. And so this is sort of cuts through the ordinary structured practice. There's an alternative, however, to all this, which is that you can have your own personal direct spiritual experience, which in fact is initiatic. It opens you up to a greater visionary experience, and you begin to have your own personal encounters. And that is the direction I want to take with this talk. I'm going to move away from the more traditional and more into the little less traditional. And so how does this compare, for example, with initiatic dreams? Well, first of all, you can't just call one up. It requires that you be aware of your dreams and that you study them. And it often is an unsolicited, spontaneous, vivid dream with iconic symbolic content. Now, by the term iconic there, I mean that there'll be images and like icons and images that will stand out for you as having some latent meaning or value, and that you have to do the work of interpretation to try to understand what these symbolic contents are. In initiatic dreams, you're not going to usually get literal teachings. You're going to get symbolic encounters, experiential interactions, and you have to do a certain amount of work to work out the interpretation. Furthermore, I'm not talking about, you know, just ordinary dreams. I'm talking about non-ordinary dreams. In fact, I would estimate that the amount of time that one has these initiatic dreams is maybe 2 or 3% of all dreaming. It's not an everyday thing. That doesn't mean that an ordinary dream might not have some initiatic aspects, but generally speaking, these are kind of special dreams that come periodically. Just as we talked about initiation over time, these dreams come over time, deepening your awareness. And you have to learn to distinguish between what I call explicit and implicit contents. By explicit, I mean that you have a dream and someone comes up to you and they say something to you and you understand what they're saying and it's a message and you can take the message. That's explicit. On the other hand, if someone comes up to you, hands you an object, that they say is important, and you take the object, you don't know exactly what it is or what it means, but it's valuable and important, that's implicit. So dreams are filled with explicit and implicit contents, and you have to do the work of trying to understand what the implications are of these symbols and the things that appear. Now, to make it a little more complicated, we also have this other issue, which is most people, when they think about their dreams, think about the content. They think about the scenario or about the story that is part of the, that is in the dream. You know, I met so-and-so and certain things happened and so on. However, initiatic dreams tend to be actually rather weak in content, but much stronger in states. And also states and contents reflect your stage of development. And so this makes it a bit more complicated because often in initiatic dreaming, at least in my experience, states are more significant than contents. That's something most people aren't used to thinking about. So we have to dive into what is the significance here of states? What do I mean by states? And by states, I'm referencing ASC, altered states of consciousness, of which there is many different altered states. And these altered states haven't been entirely studied or understood. There's no map of altered states. There's some mapping, but it's far more complicated than any map could possibly demonstrate. And furthermore, it happens in dreaming. So start with this idea. When you fall asleep and you're laying in bed and you have a dream, and in the dream, there's an action going on. You're running, you're walking, you're talking, you're interacting. But actually in your bed, you're not moving. You might toss and turn a little bit, but you're basically not moving. So right there is an altered state. You're in the sleep state. However, the sleep state itself is not one state. It's many different states. And this is a whole area of esotericism that is just only starting to be studied at this point, because these states that are induced in dreaming are highly variable. They go from very mild, hardly notice it, to really strong, really powerful states. And there are many different diverse states. And so one of the factors that I'm trying to communicate is that esoteric knowledge, it's not so much content, it's state and stage dependent, depending on what state you are experiencing in the dream and what stage of development you are, will be additive to your basic esoteric knowledge. So what kind of a feeling are we talking about here? What kind of experience, encounter? The initiatic dream is this felt lived sense of the sacred. You have the encounter with the sacred. It could be a person, it could be an event, it could be a place, it could be an object. There's a lot of different ways. And this encounter with the sacred, with the holy, with the numinous, the numens, the power of the inherent sacred character, its transpersonal presence, leaves an impact on you. It leaves an impact on your awareness. And it demonstrates a direct experience. So it's not so much the knowledge, is more like the experience you take away from the encounter. ASC changes awareness. And then this awareness that you have in the dreaming state can transfer into the waking state. This is where you bring your dreaming into what we call lived dreaming, waking dreams, where you're truly engaging in this deeper soul level consciousness that is induced through the encounter with the sacred. Now, in terms of the initiatic dream types, there's a lot of different types. So I'm only gonna talk about three: mythic, psychic, and mystical. And this is what I call psychonoesis or psychonoetic. It means, literally, that word means psychos, soul, noesis, knowledge, psychonoetic, soul knowledge. This is dreams that impact you deeply on a soul level and transform your awareness, and you might not be able to bring it back to consciousness. It is not easy to always bring back the encounter, the sacred encounter, and bring it back into the waking state. That actually takes practice and training. So what is the mythic dream type here? So the mythic or archetypal dream is an encounter with some kind of a mythic figure like a god, a goddess, a wise elder, a trickster. There's a lot of different archetypal sort of encounters that you might have. And this encounter is initiatic because it has an impact on you and changes your consciousness. It changes your awareness through this encounter. Now, generally, these are not historical figures, by which I mean they're not a person you recognize or know. It's more like a type, like I say, a god or a goddess type. And they're very powerful and they're numinous and they're filled with this energy. And you can encounter them and have a transformative experience. I'll give you one example. I had this dream not too long ago in which I was in a garden. And in the garden, there was an apple tree, a very large apple tree. And in the apple tree, sitting on the lower branches, was a young man dressed in a young man's Greek dress. And he was holding a cup. And standing up in the tree a little higher up was a man with a beard holding a bow. And when I saw them, I assumed and I interpreted that it was Apollo and Dionysus images. And Apollo, he spoke to me and he said, "Can you see me?" And I said, "Yes, I see you." And he says, "Do you acknowledge that there are such things as gods that can manifest?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he reached down and he picked up an apple from the tree and he threw it to me. And I caught the apple, and the apple was white and semi-transparent. And I took a big bite of that apple. And when I took a bite of the apple, my consciousness really expanded. And I had this sudden awakening that within the garden and within the entire scenario of the dream, there were all these spiritual energies at work, and they were all active and interactive. And suddenly I could see them and acknowledge them and interact with them. So that was a pretty powerful archetypal initiatic dream that had definitely had symbolic and iconic contents. The bow, the apple. Why is it an apple tree? What is the significance of apples? You can go on and on elaborating the content. And it takes the work to decode. I mean, you have to, I've been working on my dreams for a long time. I've been recording them since 1970. And so I have over 50 years of recorded dreams. And I've been able to master the art of decoding and interpreting dreams and drawing out the meaning. And the way you do that is study your dreams and work on them. And what'll happen, certainly happened to me, is that these dreams challenge my everyday mindset and had a very powerful impact. And what Carl Jung called big dreams that you carry with you your whole life. They're not dreams you forget about. You remember that dream, and that dream has a teaching inherent to it, and it contains esoteric knowledge that you have to focus on and draw out into your waking life. And so that's a very, that's a good example of the mythic type. And then there's the psychic dream. And psychic dreams are both explicit and implicit in terms of contact with people like guides, or teachers, masters, animal spirits, aliens. Oh yes, aliens. We have to include UFO and aliens in the initiatic tradition, as far as I'm concerned, because many people have dreams, UFO encounter, alien encounter dreams that shift their awareness and shift their consciousness. And it's sort of a more contemporary, modern, postmodern kind of encounter. But it's still part of, in my way of thinking, it's still part of the continuum of teachers and guides that you can meet in the dream situation. Now, the thing is that these encounters are often actual historical individuals that you might recognize. They're known people, teachers, masters, people that you may have read about or you've seen and through video or some form, you know, traditional figures, teachers, sometimes unknown others. You don't know who these people are, but they come with a message or they come with a teaching and they wish to transmit to you some kind of knowledge. Gnosis. So this is the dream type, what I think most people think about when they think about initiatic dreams, that a teacher shows up and offers them some kind of teaching, or some form of interaction that has a deep and profound effect, and then they take that away with them when they wake up, they're still carrying the energy of that interaction. However, it also brings another feature here that is, I think, quite common and not well studied or recognized, and that is that these non-ordinary initiatic dreams very often have paranormal features. So that the way to think about that, for me at least, is that the latent capacity that we have as individuals for psychic perceptions, paranormal awareness, is there. We're not creating it. We're not making it happen. It's there. It's just latent. It's waiting to be stimulated, so to speak. And so these features in the dreaming context can be fully actualized. Every one of those capacities I've experienced in my dreams, not just once, many times. And telepathy, for example, mind-to-mind communication, is picking up on other people's thoughts in the dream. Sometimes when I've had a interaction with a teaching figure, the person actually doesn't speak to me. The person thinks, and I think with them, we think together. It's like a telepathic communication, very commonly in these psychic initiatic dreams, or precognition. And precognition is being able to see the future before it happens. I've had numerous precognitive dreams in which I dreamed something was going to happen, and then several days later, that event happened just as I dreamed it. That has happened to me for sure. Psychokinesis, that means that PK, it means that you can move an object with your mind over matter. So here's an example of psychokinesis dream. It was like in the dream, I was asked to pick up a stone about the size of a watermelon, and pick it up with my mind, not to touch it, to pick it up and make it float in the air. You know, and I was like trying, and it really wasn't easy to get that stone off the ground. But then all of a sudden I had this insight, and the insight was that you have to get into the inner essence of that object and attune with it. And when you attune with that object, you'll find that it has no weight. It can be moved about. And suddenly the stone floated up into the air. So that was like esoteric knowledge. I got an intuition about how it's possible to actualize psychokinesis in a dreaming state. And so in the sense, you could say I was practicing that ability. And in practicing it, I was actually seeing the result. Clairvoyance, that means you're aware of something happening at a distance at the same time that it's happening. Like I have a friend that lives in Seattle, and I suddenly have a thought that something's happening with him, and I call him on the phone and I find out, yeah, it's happening. And I can have a dream in which I see events happening simultaneously. That is a clairvoyant intuition. Or psychometry. Psychometry is in a dream. I just had a psychometric dream the other night, which I found a lizard skull. The lizard skull was painted and it had feathers on it. And this is part of my Native American interest and background. And it was a lizard skull from the Maya ruins. And when I was looking at the object, I could see in my mind a history of the use of the object and how it was used in rituals and so on. And there are actual people who do psychometry that go on archaeological digs to help give intuitions about what happened to these objects. And of course, healing is very well-known psychic capacity that can be practiced in dreams. I've had many dreams of healing people, and you can actualize the potential. You get a feeling for what it's like to heal someone. You get a feeling of the energy as it flows. You feel it flowing into the other person. You can feel it affecting the other person. And that is a training and an induction into an altered state, which is in through the dream and can be carried into the waking state. And of course, this is the latent power we're talking about, is ESP, extrasensory perception, or psi, which is the term they use these days. We don't understand what psi is. We really don't. And we know how it works, but we don't know exactly what it is. And it certainly has a spiritual, profound spiritual aspect. And that's a whole other topic right there. So these kind of dreams, they bring teachings, but the teachings that they bring are a teaching that actualizes a latent capacity, a power, an ability. And that ability is transmitted in the dreaming context. So it can be an action, a blessing, a confirmation. It can be something that actualizes a developmental stage. And often it's a testing. I've had that testing dreams numerous times in which a spiritual teacher shows up and asks you to do certain things to demonstrate your abilities or your psychic capacities and so on in a long series of stages. And like recently, not too long ago, I had a Rosicrucian master came to me in a dream and said, wanted to see if I was ready to be inducted into the adept order. And he said, there was two of them. And he said to me, we want you to manifest an object in this room through an act of thought. And I said, okay. And I thought of an object and bingo, it manifested in the dream, which might sound easy, but it's really not that easy. He said, yes, that's what we want to see. And therefore we sanction your adept status. So that, those kind, you know, and I've had interaction with Sufi masters as well. I mean, the Sufis have a tradition in which they teach you in your dreams. That's a given part of many of the Sufi traditions, that the teachers will come to you and give you instructions in your dreams. Sometimes, however, there's no teaching at all. It's just totally silent. There's no information exchange. There's no psychic abilities manifested. There's just bhadraka, just the direct transmission. Something's being communicated to the other person. Something's being transmitted, something that's profound that you can carry with you. I once had a Buddhist teacher who told me something I've always remembered. He said, every initiation is planting a seed. You may not feel the effect of the initiation, but in time, that seed will grow and develop and expand and become more part of your waking conscious life. So these are like the seeds of bhadraka that are planted in the dreaming state as you go along, develop, and evolve. So then we come to the third point, which is also a profound aspect of the initiated dream tradition, and that is the numinous transpersonal encounter, sacred encounter, that is what I'll call direct experience of the sacred, without intervening scenarios or persons. That is, and often it's one of unity or sacred light, and there's other sets of qualities that do it. And basically, this kind of dream is an intense altered state dream. It's completely immersive. It's opening up into this vast, open, super spatial reality. It's a kind of what I like to call the great fullness or the plenum of sacred presence. And when I've had these experiences, and I've had a number of them, there's no persons, there's no scene, there's no scenario, there's no story. There's just this vast open cosmic space filled with spiritual energies and activities. It's not empty space. It's totally full of this, hyperactive, creative, sacred energy that's at work and acting on us and acting on our consciousness and helping us to evolve into more self-aware beings. And I'll just give you one example of that type of a dream. One night I had a dream in which I was sitting at a kitchen table talking to two other persons, two women, neither of whom I knew, but we were just having this nice conversation about spirituality. And as we're sitting, we kind of reached a point of stopping our conversation and sit in silence together. And as we sat there in silence together, all of a sudden this whole scene of the dream began to dissolve until the scenario of being in the kitchen and so on was gone. There was nothing there, only a vast open space. And each of the persons that we were sitting with, everybody began to separate out from each other. And they disappeared, and I was alone in this giant space. And then I was laying as though I was in my bed, and I woke up in my bed like this on my back with my hands over my chest. And I was laying in that position. And then all of a sudden, my heart started to pulse with this spiritual energy. And that energy was increasing and increasing and increasing, becoming more and more full and vast and filled with sacredness. And I thought, wow, what a profound experience. But then, much to my surprise, off at a great distance, off in the infinite, in a great distance, came these waves. And these waves came washing over me at waves of light and consciousness, waves over me. And as they did, I completely dissolved. There was no person left. There was only the scene, the waves, the living cosmos. A sacred energy, and that I don't know how long that lasted. And then eventually, the energy just began to contract, shrink away. And the next thing I knew, I was laying in bed on my back and feeling extremely calm. But I noticed I couldn't move. I was unmoving for about 10 minutes. Then I finally started moving. I got up and I could move around. I felt calm. I felt really fine, and yet. At the same time, I had this definite waking sense of that cosmos surrounding and penetrating the room and everything around me. So it was a very profound, mystical kind of dream that left a lifelong impression on me. And that's not the kind of experience you forget. And out of that experience, I felt that everything was alive, that the cosmos is filled with sacred energies, with beings. It's a multiverse of extraordinary complexity, and it reveals something which I'll just call the mystery of being. It is far beyond my comprehension. I don't understand what all these experiences really add up to. I only know that they are a series of progression of developmental stages that are exposing all of us, each of us, to these kinds of energies and this kind of vaster multiverse that is working on us in a very subtle, very soft, very gentle way in the midst of our dreaming. And it's the superordinate reality that I'm talking about. It's not the conscious everyday world. It's something behind the scenes, so to speak, that is filtering in and imbuing us with contact and experience of God nature, however you might want to think about God or God nature. And I mean God sort of beyond form, beyond any kind of concept, beyond really words. I can't describe it. I can't really communicate the real experience. I can only point to it. And that's because these experiences are beyond words, and they're very profound. And they leave the deep impression psychically on the individual. And you're transformed by this, even if it's only very subtly, it only lasts a little bit. It's part of who you are as you go along then. So let's summarize this. So that dreams communicate basically direct spiritual experience, whether it's through symbols or through a teacher showing up or some kind of direct mystical thing. It's basically the states that impact you, not necessarily the explicit teachings. Explicit teachings matter. I'm not suggesting they don't. They're very important, and they're part of the training and teaching. And you need something to think with. You need ideas to kind of grapple with this really profound depth. And I see it as state-based initiation. Dreams alter your consciousness, provide opportunities. Now remember, I said 2 or 3% of your dreams, not all your dreams, and offer supporting stages of development as dreams change over time. However, I want to emphasize that it's not a fixed progression. mixes these dream types, mythic, psychic, and mystical. I just did that to kind of clarify the differences. However, a single dream can have all three aspects. It can have a little bit of myth, have some psychic elements, and be mystical too. So it's not, and it doesn't mean that you're going to work your way from the simple, easy ones to the much more complicated ones. That's not at all what happened. What happened with me was I had some really amazingly powerful, overwhelming dreams at the very early stage. And over the years, they became more and more integrated as I practiced to understand and analyze, remember, assimilate, and so on. And that process means that what you have to do is understand that it's an individual developmental process. It's not going to be the same for you as it was for me or anyone else, really. Each person has their own path to follow. And each person has to do the work of development in order to contribute to the collective development. Because I feel strongly that the dreaming transformation that you go through on a nightly basis can add positively to the collective. It can also add negatively. If you have a lot of nightmares and you know, harmful dreams and suffering and dreams that are cause you, you know, anxiety and so on, that too contributes to the collective. So you have to adjust your mindset to look for the deeper positive underlying potential of the dream that is waiting to be manifested. And my view on that is the dream is the teacher, the true medium of transformation. My dreams have taught me. I didn't learn this from reading a book or studying dreams, not at all. In fact, dream study didn't help me. I had to just grapple directly with the dream experience. So I take the dream as really as the teacher and as the true medium to help us in our evolutionary process. And this is something I call the metaphysics of discovery. Now, by metaphysics of discovery, what I'm suggesting here is that these state-based encounters with paranormal features promote human development. What I mean by that is that it's not, this is my view, it is not that the dreams are leading you to a conclusion. That I don't believe that is true. I believe that dreams are leading you forward on a path in which you have to make decisions about exactly what you want to develop in your life. Who are you? And what is your developmental potential aimed at? What are your spiritual goals? You have to be clear about your spiritual goals. And in learning, and it's going to be different for different people in the same family, your closest friends. It's a matter of differentiation in which you choose creatively to develop along a certain pathway. And this is an evolutionary process, as far as I'm concerned. Dreams teach us through states, through contents and stages, but as a part of ongoing discovery. It's not as though we are in the process of trying to actualize a given path. It is true that the path has structure and it does have stages and it has a variety of different states. But your dreams, from my point of view, your dreams are probably the most creative expression of your being. I believe that for myself, for sure. And I'm open to what my dreams have to teach me, because I still note that in the dreaming state, I have to make choices. It's not as though it's just laying out a pathway for me, and it's certainly not taking me toward a fixed end. It's opening a doorway, and I'm crossing through the doorway, and I'm choosing how I want to pursue my spiritual development. And so for me, there's no final development. Yes, there might be such things as enlightenment, as they say in various Asian traditions. I don't deny that. I'm sure it's true, but I don't think it's a final enlightenment. I think it's a stage of enlightenment. And I'm a scholar of comparative religions, and all I can say about that is this: these stages of spiritual development are codified into esoteric teachings, but it doesn't close the door on what is possible. And if we're looking for a creative resource that would help us determine or find what is the path that we really want to take, then look at your dreams, because your dreams are going to give you creative influences that you're not expecting. That's the thing I love about dreams. They don't take you where you think you want to go. they really offer you alternatives. And a lot of people just ignore their dreams. They don't make the effort to truly understand what's involved in unpacking that dream and applying it to their life. And that's because the reason I use the word metaphysics of discovery is I believe that this is not based in material causality. It's not reducible to material theories. It is something instigated, I believe, by a higher power, however you want to conceptualize that. And how is that power manifesting in our life? Through prophetic inspirational dreams that communicate esoteric knowledge. And higher power is what I call that mystery of being. You know, that behind the scene, it is working very, as I said, gently through our psychic process of development and infusing itself into our dreams. But we have to choose to follow it, to study it, and to work on it, to try to really gain a deep and profound knowledge of what that influence is, because it's going to be different for different people, different genders, different ethnicities. It's going to be differentiated. That's the future. The multicultural future of spiritual development is not going to be convergence to a single teaching, but divergence into a vast array of teachings, which can be empowered through the process of dreaming. So how do you do it? Okay, well, there's no easy way to do it. Dream learning comes to dream study. You have to study your dreams and you have to pay attention to them. You know, if you're waiting for a dream to come along and a teacher is going to show up and teach you exactly what you need to know, it's going to be a long wait. That's usually not how it works. These are what I call the three R's of dream work. Record, reflect, and research. Record, yes, I've been recording my dreams. I have 800 single space pages of dreams on my computer, which means I can search them for symbolic correspondences, themes, all kinds of stuff through my computer. So I have really great access to over 50 years of dreaming. And what I do and what I've done in the past, though I don't need to do it anymore because I really do remember my dreams on a daily basis. And that is I use the digital recorder. I stuck one of those little digital recorders under my pillow, and then I go to sleep and then I have a dream and I reach over and I click it on, blah, 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 blah. I had this dream and so on, you know, and then click it off and go back to sleep. And so you've got the actual record right there and you don't have to worry about writing up or anything. And then when you have time, you can sit down with it, put your earbud on, hook it up, and sit at your computer and type in your dream. And over time, you'll develop quite a good record of dream. And what you're looking for is not your ordinary dream, but your non-ordinary dream. I actually taught myself to remember my non-ordinary dreams and not my ordinary dreams. You can do that. It does work. And then once you have them recorded, you'll start seeing patterns and you'll start seeing themes. And these themes are quite important because they're existential themes, really. Themes of what you are struggling with personally in your life. So I don't want to make it sound like it's all roses and everything is, you know, heading toward perfection. That's really not it. The dream record reveals where you need to work, where the rough spots are, where the conflict is, where the unresolved tension is. And dreams reveal this. And initiatic dreams push you, so to speak, past the threshold of where the conflicts are and where the tensions are, if you pay attention to them and if you spend time thinking and analyzing them. Because once you have the dream recorded, you've got to start. But, you know, it's like I say, you can get a letter in the mail, but if you don't open it and read it, you're not going to know what it says. So just because you recorded the dream doesn't mean you understood the dream. So you have to reflect on it, and you have to reflect on your dreams You need to reflect on the non-ordinary character. You have to reflect on the scenario, the state, the content. You have to learn to parse it out and see what really is going on in this dream. And you don't want to rush your interpretation. I've had dreams that I've been thinking about literally for 20 years. And I'm still thinking about them. And it's interesting what happens, because I will have a dream and then I'll think about it and I'll come up with an interpretation on what I think it means, what the symbols mean, how this applies to my life and so on. And then a few years later, I go back and I read that dream. It's like, wow, it's like a revelation. I see a whole other layer of meaning I didn't see the first time around. So you have to live with your dreams, and you have to live with them over time through a process of slowly learning to understand your own symbolic language. This is why dream books don't work. This is why symbol dictionaries don't work. The reason is because they might be okay for collective analysis. You know, what does a dream of a certain object or a certain figure mean? Well, you might be able to say something about it collectively, but individually, it's going to have its own special individual nuances. So you have to learn the nuances of your own psychic processes, and those are highly individuated. So you have to, it's like you have to write your own dictionary, as it were. You have to have your own understanding of what your dreams mean, and this takes time, and it takes work, and it takes reflection. I think about my dreams every day. And I've been doing that for a long time, and I keep learning. I don't feel like I've reached by any means the end of the path. I'm just somewhere in the middle, going along as I go. And then comes the third, which is the research element. You need to research your dream contents. It's not just subjective, really. I mean, these dreams are drawing on collective elements, social circumstances, ethnic context. There's a lot of different layers, so to speak, that feed into the dream. And often they take real research, because I often have dreams that I, you know, I have to dig to find out. I had a dream once in which I had a manuscript and I saw on the manuscript an Egyptian symbol. And I had no idea what the Egyptian symbol meant or anything. And after a lot of research and digging, I found that symbol and I found out what it meant, and it fit perfectly into the dream scenario once I figured it out. But I had never seen that symbol before. I don't know how that symbol popped up, you know? So you have to, I've been researching my dreams for quite a long time, and trying to understand the symbols, the icons, the references. And then, and this is a practical a suggestion. Take a dream object, a symbol, and meditate on that symbol in a meditative state and see where it leads you in terms of what kind of feeling you get for it, what kind of insight comes to you, and see if it doesn't enhance your inner alignment with external events and spiritual influences. I'll give you an example. One time I had a dream about a golden triangle. That was really a golden pyramid that was floating over my head. And then in the dream, it was like I could communicate through the symbol to other dimensions of reality. And so after I woke up, I started meditating with that object, using it as a medium for communicating to a more subtle realm of existence. So you can get symbols like that, and they can be transferred and used in terms of how you really want to develop your dreaming skills. And finally, the other thing is share your dreams with other people. It's really better to work with others and interact, because often other people will help give you a real sense of alternative views on what you're experiencing. My wife and I have been communicating and discussing our dreams for a long time. We've been together for over 40 years, and we discuss our dreams every day. And she often has insights about my dreams that I don't have, which is pretty good. So it's like, you know, if you can be in partnership with others, form a dream group, get in dialogue with people. There's the International Association for Study of Dreams, IASD. which is a very good group. That all these people are extremely interested in dreams and have all kinds of events around dreaming. So that's a good place, but partnership really helps. And that really provides a context for greater interpretation. And some people I've discovered really have a knack for dream interpretation. If you get to know someone like that, they can really help you unpack the dream, and then you can begin to cultivate your practice in order to identify and to integrate the subtle effects of initiatic dreaming. So if you're interested in what I just gave you here in this talk, you might be interested in this book. This book is coming out from Lexington Press next month, and it's called Dreams Beyond Time, Sacred Encounter and Spiritual Transformation. It talks about everything I've talked about in this talk and a lot more. And in the dream, because if you're wondering about, well, why do you need to hear more about what kind of dreams these are? Well, this book has 60 non-ordinary dreams in it, and it has a lot on the history of dreaming and theory and metaphysics and ontology and paranormal and psychic abilities. It's in this book, and I recommend it. And let me say that if you have interest in communicating with me, or you would like to find out more about this or have some questions, you're welcome to reach me at my email address, irwinl@cofc.edu, which is my email. And I'm pretty good on responding to email, but it may take me a little while, but be patient because I will get back to you. So that pretty much concludes my talk.